We continue with talking about prayer, talking about communicating with God. In the very first week, we talked about how it is, what does it mean to pray, and what are the things that we do. We talked about sharing our heart, and we talked about asking questions and giving thanksgiving. And then we talked about how last week that God wants to just pour out on us, but there's just still some situations where bad things still happen. And how do we process through that? And today, what I want to talk about is how we pray. Because how we pray is just as important as to what we pray. And rather than talk to you and like, here's a 5-point, action step bulletin, write this all out, take it home, laminate it, which is great. There's plenty of those you can print off. I want us to experience prayer today. I want us to experience what it means to come into the presence of God and what we can expect on a regular basis. And so today, I want to start off by talking about how we pray. The very first thing that I want to talk about, and it seems so simple, is that we need to begin by calling on God. That's like a given, right? But big G. 1 Kings 18, if you get a chance, take a look at that passage. I'm not going to read it today, but I want to tell you about it. Many of you may know this story. It's the story of Elijah. Elijah was a very powerful prophet in the Old Testament. And he, one day, challenged the prophets of Baal. Now, Baal was the go-to god when they rebelled. When Israelites rebelled, they would just seem to default to Baal. And Baal was a false god, little g. And he says to them, you have 450 prophets, and I alone stand for God. And he goes, we're going to have us an old-fashioned showdown. And he tells them, he says, let's meet up on this mountain. And he goes, go ahead and build you a little altar. And I'm going to build an altar. And whoever prays to God, their God, and the fire from heaven comes down and consumes the sacrifice on this altar, their God is real. So imagine 450 of the prophets of Baal decked out. They have got pomp and circumstance. They show up. They've probably got paparazzi. I mean, it's like a circus. They show up. They build this altar. They put the sacrifice on there, and they begin their ceremony. And this is early in the morning, and about midday, nothing's happened yet. So Elijah starts taunting them. And I love the Bible because it tells us these awesome stories, because he starts taunting them and says, hey, maybe you're not shouting loud enough. Maybe he doesn't hear you. And so they start shouting louder, and they start cutting themselves, and they start doing crazy things. And then he even taunts them a little further and says, you know what? Either your God's asleep, or maybe he's in the bathroom. True story. He's taunting them so bad. They're getting so furious. They're like ready to kill him. And finally, it's getting towards the end of the day. And he says, okay, you've had your turn. Now, this is in the middle of a 3-year drought. There's very little water. And what he does is he builds his altar and he puts his sacrifice and he has them pour 3 big barrels of water, very precious. And he soaks the wood and he soaks the animal that was laid on there. And this is what he does. No ceremony, no circumstance. He walks up and he simply bows his head and he prays aloud. Lord, show that you are God. And fire comes down. It doesn't just consume the animal. It consumes the wood. It burns the very stones of the altar. And I tell you that story to start off by saying this. He called upon the name of the Lord, upon God. And in our life, there are a lot of little g gods that we will call upon. You will call upon your bank account. You will call upon your government. You will call upon fill in the blank time and time again, trying to meet your needs, trying to find out what to do. Guys, there's a lady coming to town next month that is a quote-unquote psychic. I don't know if you've heard about her coming. And it's already being promoted. And she's been, this is like the third or fourth time she's coming to town. She has a national TV show. And people are pumped. I mean, I'm flipping through the radio station, and these guys were just pumped that this lady was going to come and just help so many people because she gives them clairvoyance. I'm here to tell you right now, she is serving a little g God. There is only one who knows the Alpha and Omega, who knows the beginning and end, who knows the steps that he has laid out for us, and it is not the one she's calling on. So this isn't just a story that took place thousands of years ago. Guys, it's going on right now. People are desperate to speak, to know, to feel spiritual things, and there's a lot of little G's out there running around ready to fill in the blanks for them. But we know the real God. And there are special names for him. And we won't go through all of them today, but I'm going to invite my mother-in-law and father-in-law, Jan and Del Beasley, to come up. And I've asked them to share with us a few of the names of God. And I want to encourage you to begin the practice of learning God's name and calling out to him. Guys, and let me, before you speak, I'm sorry, to really experience this, this is what I want to ask you guys. I said this is going to be an experiential event today. I'm going to ask that everyone here, you close your eyes. If you want to bow your head, you can. But close your eyes and listen to the names of God.
Elohim, mighty creator. Elohim, mighty one. You made everything out of nothing. Imposed order on chaos, gave birth to beauty, and called it good. Help me to know you as the one who has placed me on the earth for a purpose, to magnify your name.
Yahweh, Lord. Yahweh, you are my strength and my song. You have become my salvation. You are my God, and I will praise you.
El Shaddai. God Almighty, Lord, help me to know you as my all-powerful God, the one who is able to sustain and bless me, to fulfill every promise he makes, always believing you are enough for me.
Yahweh Yireh, the provider. Yahweh Yireh, thank you for all your blessings, and thank you that your blessings never come to an end because you are God and a God of infinite grace.
Adonai, Master. Master, forgive me for the times I have only paid lip service to your lordship in my life. Help me to experience the joy of serving you, living with the knowledge that you are my Adonai, my Lord and God.
Yahweh Shuri, the rock. Lord, you are more reliable than the ground I stand on, and your faithfulness is more than I can comprehend.
El Chai, living God. Lord, you are a God who speaks, who hears, and who acts. Thank you for breathing life into me. Glorify your name so that everyone who knows me may know that you alone are El Chai, the living God.
Yahweh Roi, the shepherd. Lord, I praise you for your constant care, for bringing me back when I wandered from your ways, for nourishing me, for protecting me, and making me lie down in peace.
Abba, Father, Dad. Father, thank you for loving me when I was still far from you. Strengthen my identity as your child and help me to glorify your name by reflecting your character.
Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is peace. Lord, I long for peace, the peace that only you can give. Please help me to find that peace in the world and in my own heart. Help me to do things I need to do in order to experience true shalom. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Do you hear those names? Do we know God in those different ways? The word God just thrown around just so much. How awesome it is that the word tells us these names. He shares his personality with us. He is the rock. He is the shepherd. How many of us need a rock right now? How many of us need a shepherd? How many of us need a Yahweh Yireh, the provider? How many of us need a Yahweh Lord, a master to tell us, I am lost, I need direction? He shares his name with us. This is a powerful thing. In our culture, names are significant. You know, there's millions, strike that, billions of dollars spent every year trying to protect our identity. Because my name, my identity is so important and can be used. And God shares his identity with us. So when we pray to him, and I'm not saying you have to do it every time, but it's interesting when Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, he tells them, pray like this, Abba, Dad, Father. Now that doesn't seem so significant to us, but if you were a first century Jew, it would have rocked your world because it was so sacred to say the name of God that if the person wrote it out, they would go and cleanse themselves before and afterwards. They came up with the other words to mean Yahweh, to mean the Lord, because they were so afraid to say it because they saw it as so sacred. And Jesus teaches us you can use his name. You can be personal with him. We begin by calling on God. The second thing is that we need to pray through the Holy Spirit. Guys, the Holy Spirit is there for us. It is part of the triune God. He is in perfect communion with the Father and with the Son. And he is available to us. Jesus says, when I leave, I will send you a comforter. I will send this spirit. I will send you this helper. And in Romans 8:26, Paul tells us, he says that when we pray, if we do not have the words, the Holy Spirit will say groans of prayer for us. Because he knows what we need. The Father knows what we need. And he will pray in our place. And he will tell the Father what it is. Sometimes it's just, it's in you, but you can't say that. I don't know if you've ever been there in your life. In an act of desperation, in acts of loneliness and brokenness. And it's like, there's just so much just spiritual energy in me, and I want to share it with God, but I just, oh. You ever had that? In the moment, you just, there's nothing. You just can't put a word to it. And I have been there, and there have been times where in that moment that in my spirit, I feel that there is peace that comes, and I know that it's the Holy Spirit that is petitioning on my behalf. I don't know how he says it, but I just imagine him standing before the Father and in his presence and going, hey, your son, this, he just is hurting right now, and he can't say it, but I want to say it for him. Father's like, I know. And he gives us these words in our hearts. One of the things that the Holy Spirit is to do is Jesus said, I will send him so that he will remind you of my teaching. He will remind us of the word of God. And we see throughout the Bible times, and I think about Nehemiah, Nehemiah is brokenhearted by the fact that there's no wall around the holy city. And so he goes to God in prayer, and he prays back to God God's own promises. Have you ever had your kids do that? Hey, Mom, Dad, you remember when you said, you promised. And then you're like, oh, yeah, I did. And they're looking up at you. And you're like, great, now we're going to Chuck E. Cheese. But our Father has laid out promises, and he has shared his heart with us. And boy, if we don't know what to pray, what better thing to pray than his own words back to him? And there's lots of promises. Guys, there's books. You can find them galore. You know, 100 promises, 1,000 promises for men, for women, for couples, for people with blue eyes, brown eyes. And there's just every kind. There's promises for you, and you can pray through those. But there are passages, entire passages, that if read, if you have a heart for it, you see them as a prayer. Matter of fact, there are many prayers recorded. Moses, Abraham, Jesus himself. Their prayers are recorded. Sometimes we can pray through those things. One of the books of the Bible that I have found over the years that when there are times I just don't know what to pray, when I'm just so wrapped up, just broken, excited, whatever my feelings, is you can go to the book of Psalms, and there are so many passages. How many funerals have you been to? Psalm 23, right? Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He leads me by still water. Like, there's comfort in his word. And so today, as we talk about praying in the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us, inspired scriptures. It is the written word of God through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the author. If we ever want to know a book, go to the author. And read back to him and have him walk through it with you. Now, rather than just tell you about this, I'm going to invite Trina Jenkins to come up. And again, this is an experiential moment for us. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to encourage you that as she reads Psalms 103 as a prayer, that you bow your head, that you close your eyes, and you open your heart. Trina.
I bless the holy name of God with all my heart. Lord, I thank you. There is power in your name. Yes, I bless you, Lord, and not forget the glorious things that you do for me. You forgive all my sins. You heal all my diseases. You ransom me from hell, and you surround me with loving kindness and tender mercies. You fill my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Lord, you give justice to all who are treated unfairly. You revealed your will and your nature to Moses and the people of Israel and to me, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are merciful and tender towards those who don't deserve it. You're slow to get angry and full of kindness and love towards me. You never bear a grudge nor remain angry forever. You have not punished us as we deserve for all our sins. For your mercy, Lord, toward those who fear and honor you is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. You have removed our sins as far away from us as the east is from the west. You are like a father to us, Lord, tender and sympathetic to those of us who reverence you. You know we are but dust and that our days are few and brief, like grass, like flowers, blown by the wind and gone forever. But your loving kindness, O Lord, is from everlasting to everlasting. To those who reverence you, your salvation is to children's children, of those who are faithful to your covenant and remember to obey you. Lord, you have made the heavens your throne. From there you rule over everything there is. Oh, bless the Lord, you mighty angels of his, who carry out his orders, listening for each of his commands. Bless the Lord, you armies of his angels who serve him constantly. Let everything, everywhere bless the Lord. And Lord, how I bless you too.
Amen. How great is his love, as high as the heavens. How far does he separate us from our sin? As far as the east is from the west. Wow, he is like a father tender to us. Man, those are his words, guys. Those are his heart being poured out to us. He's telling us thousands of years ago, guys, my love for you, you can't fathom it. Get in a ship, fly as high as you want, as far as the heavens are. That is my love. We have launched spacecraft right now that 30, 40 years ago, they are so far off that it takes months to get a signal. And you know what? They haven't bumped into anything yet. He's still going. And our grandkids' grandkids will be still getting signals from that thing, and it still is going to keep going because that is how vast the universe is. And he says in that passage, that's how high, that's how much love I have for you. As high and as vast as the heavens. If you were a parent and your child gets that you love them and they come back to you and they, I've had that experience where your child just revels in your love for them. And they verbalize the how that they feel loved and safe and protected and appreciated and valued and all these other adjectives that we could add on and on and on, and you have a child and it's this special moment, right? It doesn't happen very often. And when it does, you're like, oh. All those nights of sleeplessness, all the hours of wrenching your hands and just prayer and brokenness and thinking of them and working for them and doing whatever can for them in that moment when they come back and they reflect that love back to you and you're like, you got it. You see it. How do you think the Father feels when we read his word back to him and say, not just like I'm reading it back to you, but like I believe it. What power that is. How much that must just warm his heart. Isn't that cool? Like, we can make God happy. That's what makes him happy. We pray through the Holy Spirit because he is the author. He inspired it. He interprets it. He shares it back to the head and says, look at what your child is saying. He heard you. Third thing that we need to do in prayer is we need to pause. Prayer is a two-way communication. Now, I've entitled this series God's Wi-Fi, and I started off by talking about how like Wi-Fi goes both ways. Wi-Fi is not a one-way communication. If it was, that would really kind of stink. We want to be able to send stuff, and we want to be able to receive stuff. And if we're going to receive, we need to sometimes listen. And Luke 5:16 is just one of many times in the New Testament that talks about when Jesus was here, when he was with his disciples, when he was doing ministries, healing people, he's walking on water, he's doing feeding the 5,000. 5:16 says he got away to a lonely place. Some translations say desolate. When you go back to the Greek, it means it's an abandoned place. It's a quiet place. It's a place without distraction. And there, he prayed. There he got alone with his dad and kind of got realigned, got his marching orders for the day. And I was like, hey, what are we doing today? Dad, what do you want from me? Am I healing? Am I teaching? Am I flipping tables over? What do you want? We get so busy. There are weeks that go by where I don't see people that I really care about. I was just recently talking to my sister on the phone, And I realized it's been since Christmas. I mean, it's been like 4 or 5 weeks since I really talked with her. I mean, there's a few texts, you can do a Facebook poke or comment here and there. Now, she's 12 hours away, so I can't just pop in at her house. But, you know, the phone works 24 hours a day. And I think sometimes, what do we do with God? He gives us this amazing gift. You know, in the Old Testament, prior to God coming in the form of Christ and dying and pulling apart that separation, you had to go to specific places to talk to certain people to prepare your heart to even interact with God. But through the power of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice and his atonement, he broke that veil. He tore it in two, literally. And then he shared the Holy Spirit with us to be a permanent connection. So that any place, anywhere we go, we can communicate with him. Now, can you pray while you're brushing your teeth? Yeah. Can you pray in the shower? Yeah. Can you pray while you're driving? Just keep your eyes open. Can you pray at work? Can you pray when you're in school? Can you pray when you're taking a test? Can you pray right before you go to sleep? Dear Lord, thank you for... All of those times are okay to pray because God's at any moment ready to hear from you. This week, Amy and I are celebrating 20 years of marriage, and we're going to go away for 4 or 5 days. And we're not taking the kids. We're not taking anybody with us. And we're going to talk and be together. Now, why would we do that? Can we talk at home? Yeah. Do we? Yeah. Do we talk when we're brushing our teeth, when we're dry? Yeah. But there are just some times you need to set aside with special relationships and just like, just reconnect and just reaffirm, like, this is special. So I encourage you, this is just a plug for you guys that are married. If you're not doing that, I don't care if it's once a week or once a month or once a year. You have got to just get alone. Be together. I'm talking no cell phone, like no nothing. Just, I know you're looking at them going like, I don't know if I could do that. But it needs to happen, and it needs to happen with the Lord because God wants that relationship with us. He's right there waiting. It's like, hey, come on. It's just a neat time. Come and hang out with your dad and talk and share. And he wants to share with us and talk with us. Now, guys, I know what a lot of people would tell you is like set aside 15 minutes, set aside 30 minutes. And I have friends of mine who I have every day 4 hours of prayer. Okay. I would be asleep. I'll be honest with you. And I'm not asking you to set aside that much. But how many of you, by raising your hand, have ever popped popcorn in the microwave? Come on. Have you ever done that? Have you? What do you do while the popcorn is popping? You're watching, yeah. We're waiting, right? I mean, you remember the old days? Like you had to get oil, like boil it. But then, oh, gosh, right? That took like 6 minutes, you know. Nowadays, we want the 3 minute, and then if it could be faster, we could. Like, I just want to put it in and go pop. It goes. That would really be Jiffy Pop, you know. It's like Instapop. It probably will happen. But three and a half minutes is about normal to pop popcorn nowadays. Does that seem like a really long time? I mean, we're pretty patient while we're waiting, right? Some of us are popping with the pop. You're like, oh, come on, come on. I'm using that as an example because that's something we've all experienced, and it doesn't seem like that long a time. But I want to tell you something. In 3 minutes, you can get alone with God. And I'm going to ask Chuck to come back up. And I've asked him to, he's going to play, and we're going to pray. And I'm going to put the names of God back up here that Del and Jan read through. And maybe right now you need to just be in contact with El Shaddai, the Almighty God, the Adonai Master, El Chai, the Living God. Maybe you just need Abba, your daddy. So I'm going to ask Chuck to play for about 3 minutes, for about as long as popping some popcorn. Pick one of these names and spend the next 3 minutes in prayer. Three minutes, and we can be in the presence of God. We're not talking about something that's going to interrupt your day, throw you all out of schedule. And you can do that in the morning. You can do it in the middle of the day. You can do it at the end of the day. You can do it all day long. Find little pockets of 1 minute, 2 minute, 3 minute, 5 minute times. Read through scripture while you're praying. Read through the names of God. There's books about the names of God and what they mean. Write out what it is. Write a letter. Type it. Send God an email. Whatever form it is that you need to do. But just take the moments. You're not worrying about the kids or work or the house. And we will sit down and binge Netflix for hours on end. And God's like, I just want a few minutes. started this whole series off talking about that prayer is us aligning ourselves with God. And I want to finish with this next statement. If prayer is the humble attempt of man to align himself with God's intentions, then we must surrender to his instruction. We have to surrender to his will. If we're going to pray, if this is a two-way communication and we are going to actually engage with God, then we need to be prepared whether he blesses or doesn't bless, whether we get exactly what we think we need or he gives us something else, that we are willing to surrender all of it. We surrender the good, we surrender the bad, and live it out, that we give it back to him. I'm going to ask that the worship team come back up, and we're going to sing a song. Many of us know this song. It's I Surrender All. Now, for many of you like myself, that was pretty much the closing song out every Sunday. So some for you, this may be an old tune. This may be familiar. For some of you, it may be something new, but let me just tell you this. I want us to sing this as we conclude this series about prayer is, I surrender all. God, I just give it all to you. The good, the bad, your blessings, your withholdings. When bad things still happen, though you slay me, I read last week from Job, though you slay me, I still will hope in you. Christ Jesus was the perfect example. Though you take me to the cross and let me die and poured out your wrath on me, still, Father, I love you and I serve you. I surrender all. Let's sing.
All to Jesus I surrender all to him. Trust him in his presence daily. Thank you.
it's so hard to let go. We're human. We think we can do it all on our own. But you know, whether you're dealing with physical pain, mental pain, spiritual pain right now, whether you're 11 or you're 94, surrender to Him this morning. Get rid of that load. It's so much easier. So much easier. Let's sing that chorus again. And I surrender all. Yes, I surrender all.
Today, ask Jeff to share some closing remarks and to pray us out to release us. Jeff.
If you're like me, this morning the worship service has felt just a little different. It's because God has made it a point to use the hands and feet of Jason and the others in here to open us up, to deliver to us a glimpse of what it's like to walk with Him. The Spirit counseling you, the Son sitting amongst us, the Father giving us great gifts. So he asked me to ask one question. Do you know what it's like to be in His presence? Do you know what it's like physically to stand in His presence? Do you know what it's like spiritually, truly, to sit down and break bread with Him? If you don't, reach out. Let us help you. If you do, let's do more of it so we can be the ones that He calls to reach out. One of our biggest challenges is we live in a world, and the world has somebody that God has allowed to be in control of it, whose job is to keep you from keeping your eyes on Him. We have the ability through Christ to separate ourselves from the world and to focus on Him. Do that. Start at your house with yourself and with your family, and then start reaching out from there. Jason mentioned earlier there is a 72-hour retreat coming up. That sole focus is to separate you from the world so that you can walk on holy ground with Him and truly know what it is to be in His presence and fellowship. It's called the Walk to Emmaus. I'm not here to promote it. It's just what he's called me to share with you. So with that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, You are the creator of all things. We believe that Your Son, born of the Virgin, came, lived, was faced with the same challenges that we're faced with today, yet He overcame them. The only one to shed blood with no sins to require it. He did it for us. We thank You for that. And we're going to show our thanks to You by using that gift to not only fellowship with You, but to share You with all those You put in our path. Thank You for today, and thank You for tomorrow. In Jesus' holy name, amen.